Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. On today's Edgewise, we're pleased to bring you an extended conversation with Dr. Paul Krugman. Dr. Krugman is professor of economics and international affairs at Princeton University, an op-ed columnist for the New York Times, and the 2008 winner of the Nobel Prize in Economics. Dr. Krugman's book, The Return of Depression Economics and the Crisis of 2008, has just been released in its new edition. Dr. Krugman, welcome to the program.
Thanks.
To begin with, what were the warning signs that we should have been more mindful of that led to this financial crisis?
The warnings were overwhelming. We had a monstrous bubble in housing, which was the clearest thing I've ever seen in terms of the numbers. We had clearly a runaway financial sector. When profits in the financial sector reached 40% of total profits in America, you should have said, wait, there's something wrong here. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
We'd had some near misses on the financial system. When LTCM failed in 1998, we came very close to having a freeze up of the whole financial system. That should have been a warning of just how vulnerable things were. And I guess last, in some ways, though, closest to where I was concerned, the experience of Japan in the 90s should have warned us that dealing with the aftermath of a burst bubble is not nearly as easy as we tended to think. So all of these should have said, hey, the experiences of the 1930s are not irrelevant ancient history. We can see things like that happening today, but very few people did.
In your book, you reference the Latin American problems as well as the Japanese problems. Was there any similarity to what we're experiencing now?
Well, one of the things I've been saying about this current crisis is it's not like nothing we've seen before. It's like everything we've seen before, all happening at once.
Absolutely.
You look at all of these excessive debt levels.
Right.
And if you look at what's happening in Ireland or in the Baltics, those are very close, particularly the Baltics, replay of Indonesia 1998 or Argentina 2002.
Mm-hmm.
We're having currency crises. We're having excessive capital inflows followed by a collapse of capital inflows. We're seeing the housing bubble is not just a U.S. phenomenon. It's happened to a similar degree in Spain.
Interesting.
The only place in this crisis that really is something I think has never happened before is the Iceland story. I don't think we've ever seen a country turn into a hedge fund before.
Okay. Dr. Krugman, what role did the lack of regulation play?
Both specific things that should have been regulated and the general attitude that financial markets are efficient. If they're doing it, it must be right, and they must know what they're doing, made this crisis possible.
Exactly. We had a prior Fed chairman who used the term irrational exuberance, which caused a problem. Is there anything we could have done before we had this problem?
There probably would have been a bubble, and it would have been unpleasant bubble bursting almost whatever we did.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't have to have as much bad lending. You know, there are a lot of state-level officials in the United States pleading to be allowed to regulate subprime lending, and they were overruled. They were told that the Interstate Commerce Clause allows the federal government to prevent them from doing anything, and it did.
Right.
If we had moved to regulate the financial sector a little bit more closely instead of moving to deregulate it, the fallout wouldn't have been as bad. If we had expanded leverage limitations to bank-like entities that were not depository institutions,
yep,
we wouldn't have had the same problems. You can argue about Glass-Steagall and how important the rollback was, but the fact of the matter is that we did create these monsters. A lot of what goes on right now is people in Washington say, well, you know, we don't have clear legal lines of authority for dealing with something like Citigroup. The fact of the matter was that before 1999, you couldn't have had something like Citigroup. So you would have had a commercial bank over which you had clear legal authority and you would have known what to do. So all of these things fit together.
Of course.
Bubbles will happen. There will be ups and downs. The business cycle can't be repealed. But this nightmarish collapse of everything didn't have to happen.
Do you think we can tame these cycles, or do we have too short a memory of the years that we allow things to get out of hand?
Well, there were 50 years between the Great Depression and the return of large-scale financial crises.
Mm-hmm.
There were problems, there were crises all along, but we did go a half century without anything like this. And it was only after 1980 that we started to see things spin out of control. So can I do anything that will prevent the grandchildren of policymakers today from forgetting all about it and doing it all over again? Probably not.
Oh, yeah.
If I can buy us another 50 years, I'll take it.
Right. You've mentioned that you don't think the current administration has gone far enough. Can you elaborate on that?
What we think we know, or what I think I know anyway, is we're looking at a really deep, prolonged recession.
Oh, yeah.
Already right now, we're probably about 7 million jobs short of where we ought to be. And that gap, even if the economy levels off, it's going to grow. Got a stimulus package, which the administration thinks will add 3.5 million jobs at its peak relative to where we would otherwise be. That's mitigating, but it's not enough to actually produce recovery. It's enough to lop off a significant amount of the peak in unemployment. But the package is not big enough to prevent us from having a really prolonged period of a weak economy, which is a recipe for getting stuck in a Japanese-style trap. The policy on the banks has been reminiscent of Japanese policy on the banks for the first 7 years of the lost decade, where they provided enough cash and enough guarantees to keep the banks from collapsing, but not enough to make them healthy. And that's what we're doing again. The point is, what the Obama administration is doing, it's intelligent. They understand the crisis, but it's all kind of half measures. It's all enough to stop the house from falling down, which is a good thing, but not enough to actually repair the leaks in the roof.
Can you comment on the possibility of new regulations?
Yeah, I'd like to have a lot of regulation. Actually, I'm very concerned that the momentum for that may fade. That, again, if we lose the sense of utter panic, people will start to say, oh, well, it's not so bad.
Exactly.
There was a long piece on Bloomberg News this morning, people saying, oh, well, you know, the system wasn't really that bad and it doesn't have to be changed in any fundamental way. So we may be right back in the same place a few years from now.
Yeah. Some people have talked about green shoots and what we're seeing in the economy. What would you consider to be a green shoot that would be the tide turning on this recession?
Wow. There are two different kinds of questions. One is, when does the plunge come to an end?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even, when does the recession get declared over? And there's some evidence that we might be getting towards that point.
Yeah.
Things are getting worse more slowly.
They're decelerating.
Yeah. So new claims for unemployment insurance are still above 600,000, which is, oh my God, territory, but they're not as far above 600,000 as they were. And if they drop to 400,000, we might actually see employment stabilize. We know there's some stuff, inventory cycle is going to work in our favor. So I wouldn't be surprised if the end of the recession ends up being dated sometime in the next few months.
Right.
But that's unfortunately not that helpful. The last recession officially ended in November 2001, but the unemployment rate didn't peak until June 2003. So you could have something where the recession is over, except that things are still getting worse for most people for a long time.
Very interesting.
What you'd want to see for a real recovery is a real driver of the economy back up to full employment. It would have to be something, a surge in business investment, not just stabilization of the decline, but actual rise in business investment enough to make up for the fact that American consumers are saving again. Something that would really take the place of the stuff that isn't coming back. We're not going to have a housing bubble again anytime soon. We're not going to have a zero savings rate anytime soon. So we need something coming along to replace it. And there's no hint of that in any of the data I see.
What concerns you more right now? Future inflation, future job losses, or future problems in the banking system?
I think future job losses. The banking system, I think, is past the stage of collapse, if only because everybody knows that the federal government won't let them collapse. So the panic over banks is over. Doesn't mean it's healthy.
Right.
Future inflation, there are people who just look at the size of the Fed's balance sheet and say, oh, terrible stuff. But that's at odds with the nature of the crisis we're in, which is one in which the Fed can print a lot of money, but it just sits there and they can pull it back. We'll be eager to pull it back at the first sign of inflation. So I don't see that. The future job loss is what frightens me.
Yep.
We'll find out later this week what the latest unemployment rate is. But in any case, we're heading for a prolonged period of high unemployment in a way that we have never had since the 1930s. And lots of things go wrong with that. Social safety net is full of holes. Lots of people are falling through the cracks. People are losing health insurance at a very rapid rate. And there's this downward pressure. Wages are falling in large parts of the economy. That creates the real possibility of a deflationary trap that's very hard to get out of.
Are you disturbed by the recent press reports about Wall Street compensation starting to return to pre-crisis levels?
Yeah, sure.
And at the same time, some cuts are being made elsewhere?
Yeah, so we're seeing that the financial sector, the people who made this crisis, really haven't learned anything from it.
That's definitely true.
They think they're fine. And what's more, there's something political in that as well. They believe that the watchful eye of the public is losing focus and that they can get away with it again. This general feeling that the parts of our system that brought us this catastrophe have actually learned nothing from the experience. That's not a happy omen.
Dr. Krugman, how will the current financial crisis affect the future of global capitalism?
One thing I think that's gone is the days of the Washington Consensus, the days when the United States would lecture other countries, do it our way because that's what works. We might still try to lecture them, but no one's going to listen to that.
Right.
There's certainly been a discrediting of more extravagant claims of free markets. That said, you don't see any revival of socialism going on out there. There's actually even been remarkably little extreme economic populism going on.
Yeah.
You actually look out there and you don't see developing countries turning inward again. There's been very little protectionism, constant warnings about, oh, this could lead to protectionism, but you actually see very little of it out there. So far, at least, global capitalism is not in danger. What we're seeing is at most that we're going to see some re-regulation, mostly in the heart of capitalism in the United States rather than elsewhere.
Earlier, you talked a little bit about wage loss and job loss. Do you think there's a way to keep the American dream alive?
I would have said that the American dream was actually endangered a long time before this crisis.
Hmm.
Our economy is as productive as it was 2 years ago, or more so. There's no reason why, if we have the right policies, we can't have a full economic recovery. That's going to be tough.
Of course.
But it is a question of just getting the economy moving.
Okay.
The fact of the matter is we've had rising income inequality and, as far as we can tell, falling social mobility in the United States. So actually, the problem with the American dream is not this immediate crisis.
Right.
If you really want that American dream, we need a situation where decent schools are available to kids of all income classes, decent health care is available to kids of all income classes. Our dream of upward mobility really has persisted even as the reality has been slipping away. So the question is to get those things back. And that's a much bigger task than recovering from the recession.
And along with that, do you see room in the global economy for a viable union movement?
There's lots of room for unions. We're very parochial about that. We look at the U.S. and the decline of unions and say that's the way it has to be. But even Canada has retained a strong union movement with only a modest decline in its strength. And they're participating in the same global economy we are. They're not that different in terms of economic structure.
Exactly.
And Europeans have retained plenty of strong unions, again, in economies that are very much participating in the global economy. Our traditional heavy industry unions are probably not coming back to their former strength because traditional heavy industry is not that big a deal. But there's no reason why we couldn't have a lot more unionization in the service sector, especially because we now have very large retail firms. Mm-hmm. I can't think of any reason why Walmart would not be as unionizable as General Motors was in its heyday. I'd like to see it almost more for political economy purposes than for the direct effects on wages, though those are there too. But you really do want to have some balance of interests in the political system. And right now, we really don't have anyone standing up for the workers as opposed to the employers.
What skills should younger workers be intent on acquiring? What I'm seeing are programs that talk about people finding jobs, the stimulus package. That kind of package stems from the 1930s, the Depression, when there were people who were willing to work the ground. Do those programs really work in today's information age?
Well, first of all, the number of actual information workers in the U.S. economy can be exaggerated, but the answer is I have no idea. It is hard to figure out.
Right, of course.
But what is the U.S. weakness? We actually do quite well at producing extremely highly skilled, high-end people.
Mm-hmm.
What we don't do very well at is teaching basic high school level skills.
Hmm.
What we really, really need is a broadly well-educated, literate populace. And then beyond that, I have no idea.
Right.
And a lot of the jobs that the stimulus package will create, by the way, there's a fair bit of filling potholes and digging ditches, but there's a lot of retrofitting schools to make them more energy efficient. There's actually a fair bit of research money in there. These are all things that are more forward-looking. And in general, my back gets up when people start to say, oh, well, it's 21st century and everything's different.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things are still the same. One more thing about the stimulus package. We've got a hole in our economy partly because of the collapse of the construction sector. So spending a lot of money employing people on building stuff is actually in some ways going where the problem is right now.
Absolutely.
We really want to think about what our economy is going to look like.
Okay.
There's going to be a lot of people employed in healthcare. Even if we do manage to have some cost control, there's going to be a lot more people in healthcare. Healthcare reform can actually serve as a stimulus, is also a way of pushing us in that direction.
I think the real question we have to ask is, what are we going to do with all those bankers? So we clearly have too many bankers.
Yeah. All right. Looking at the other side, the baby boom generation will actually be working longer. What are the implications for the economy?
Well, yeah, people will work more partly because so many people in my generation counted on the rising value of their houses and stock portfolios to provide for their retirement rather than actually saving. So people will probably stay in the workforce longer. That's good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it easier to sustain all of our programs. In normal times, which we're not in now, we don't have problems finding jobs for people who want to work. People may be a little unhappy with good reason. The promise of retirement receded before them. Part, not most, our long-term mm-hmm. fiscal problem does reflect the projections that say we're going to have fewer workers per retiree. And I guess if people delay retirement, that actually makes things a little easier.
Do you have a sense of what should be done about the financial sector? It's going to be smaller in the future, right?
Yeah, I think it should be more regulated. It should be smaller.
Oh, yes.
To contradict myself slightly, the really striking thing has not been the increase in the number of people in the financial industry, though there has been some. But a lot of it is just the increase in compensation. There's been some increase in the share of our workforce that's in finance, but the really striking thing is that finance went from being an industry where compensation was about the same on average as in the rest of the economy to one in which was 80% higher.
Hmm.
That's probably got to get squeezed back down again. So I think we may actually have nearly as many bankers as before, but they may be living more like normal human beings.
Dr. Krugman, is there anything else you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Now that we think that the hysterical phase of the crisis is coming to an end, I think we do need to try to think about what is the world going to look like after this crisis? Where are we going to go? And I always come back to thinking that 10 years from now, it will really be environmental issues that will be at the top. That in the end, the final verdict on the Obama administration will actually be not how did it handle the recession, maybe not even how did it handle healthcare reform, although that's terribly important, but what did it do on climate change policy? Either we're going to become a very different economy, not all at once, but over the course of several decades, because the limitations of the planet will start to become a major factor in our economic calculations. Or we're going to be headed for troubles that will make the recession look like nothing. So that's where you want to be thinking about if you want a horizon that goes beyond the next 5 or 10 years.
We've been speaking to Dr. Paul Krugman, author of the new book, The Return of Depression Economics and the Crisis of 2008. Thank you, Dr. Krugman.
Yeah, thanks.
Remember, we'd really like your feedback. So please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org. Or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.